Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we're continuing our studies on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Here's our teacher, Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University.
Last time when we began our study of living in the power of the Holy Spirit, I emphasized how important it is for us as Christians to always be thinking in terms of how we think and live and speak and act whenever we consider a doctrine of the Bible. I think John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15, which we began with last time, gets us started right in thinking very practically about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We learned last week that this passage can be divided the following way. Verses 5 through 7 discuss the Spirit's presence as solving the problem of Christ's absence. Verses 8 through 11 discuss the Spirit's ministry through the believer to the world. And verses 12 through 15, the Spirit's ministry of instruction to the believer. Last time we considered the Spirit's presence as solving the problem of Christ's absence in verses 5 through 7. I would like us to begin with verses 8 through 11 today and consider the Spirit's ministry through the believer to the world. Let's just begin at the start of the passage and then move right on in to those verses. Verse 5 says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, these verses focus especially on the time when the Holy Spirit will have been sent into the world to indwell believers. Because the Spirit of God is in the heart and in the life of so many believers, there is a great effect of conviction that will occur, we're told, in the world. Notice in verse 8, the Scriptures say, "When he is come," meaning the Holy Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and in judgment." Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The world in verse 8 refers not to the world as simply a physical planet, but rather the world of people who know not God. It is right to say when we describe non-Christians as the world, that we mean people who live their lives simply with God left out. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit through Christians to bring conviction into the heart of people who leave God out of their lives. The word reprove in this verse 8 means to convict. The Spirit is no longer, as for the believer, an advocate, a helper, one who pleads our cause and assists us. But instead now, the Spirit of God is a prosecutor. He is building a case against those who live a life of evil, leaving God on the sidelines of their life, so to speak. In fact, he not only is building a case, but he's building an effective and irrefutable case. That term reprove really does mean an effectual wielding of the arms of truth to bring conviction and ultimately repentance. A total change of heart about sin and about oneself governing one's life. And I think it's important to note that when the Holy Spirit of God comes, He is going to be indwelling believers. Primarily, the Spirit's ministry of conviction will come through the life and example of Christians and through their spoken words. Certainly, the Spirit of God can use other things other than the Christian, the written scriptures, other written literature, a special set of circumstances to bring great conviction in the heart of a person. But it's right for us to understand that primarily this conviction or reproof will come through the believer. Now, as you look carefully at verse 8, this verse also discusses the areas in which a person will be reproved or convicted who doesn't know the Lord by the ministry of the Spirit through the believer. That passage says of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin is a violation or transgression of the law of God. The greatest sin is not loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and rejecting Christ, who is the expression of God's love. The Spirit reproves men of righteousness. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps unsaved, unconverted people understand that they don't have a right standing before God or before men most of the time. And He reproves these lost men through the Christian of judgment. That it would be absolutely fair and just for God to judge sin and condemn it eternally. Now, the reasons for this convicting ministry of the Spirit are more fully developed in verses 9, 10, and 11. We've seen the areas of conviction, but the reason that this conviction goes on gets special attention, beginning in verse 9. The Spirit of God convicts men of sin because they believe not on Me, verse 9 says. Jesus is saying the greatest sin, the greatest violation of the law of God is to reject the atoning work and redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's really right to say that the only sin that would ever send a man to eternal condemnation is rejection of Christ as his Savior. And you see, the Holy Spirit of God uses believers as they witness to convince people that this is true. The Spirit of God also convicts men of righteousness, as Jesus says in verse 10, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more. Who was ever a better illustration or example of righteousness than the Lord Jesus Christ? Who ever lived a more right life according to the standards of God? Nobody ever did. But as the Holy Spirit of God works in the life of the believer, conforming that believer to the image of Christ, that believer becomes a reflection of Christ, a picture of Christ to men, and becomes a reminder, as that Christian witnesses for Christ, of Christ's work when He was in this world, of His death and of His resurrection, so that the world cannot ever forget who Jesus was and what He did for them. We're told in verse 11 that the Spirit of God also convicts of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. We're told in John chapter 12, verse 31, that Satan was defeated and his power was crushed when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. His judgment was sealed once for all and forever by that great act of the Lord. We know that in the future, as Revelation chapter 20 teaches us, finally the devil will be cast into the lake of fire, where fire and brimstone burns forever. He'll never be released and able to tempt men and lead them into sin again, whether they're Christians or non-Christians. You see, the Lord Jesus, by His act on the cross, did judge sin once and for all, both in destroying Satan and in crushing the power of sin and its capability to control and enslave a man forever. Men need to be convinced that sin will be judged, just as Satan was crushed and judged, just as the invincible power of sin was crushed at the cross. So sin in the life of every man will be judged. Either the wrath for that sin will be received by Christ on the cross for him, and he'll believe in that. Or one day, he will be judged for his sin. He will face God. And as we're told in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment, the final judgment of lost men, that the book of life will be opened, and then the other books will be opened. And if a man does not appear in the book of life because of faith and trust in the work of Christ on the cross, then he will be judged out of the other books. Every sin of man is recorded, and God will mete out fair and just judgment for every sinful act of man. What convinces men that this is so? The words and the works of the true Christian, of the believer who tells that man who doesn't know Christ and doesn't understand about this judgment that it's going to happen, and that he should prepare, that he should turn away from his sin and place his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from that judgment. It's the Spirit urging the Christian on to do this that brings men to face reality that one day they will face judgment for their sin. I think it's wonderful that the Holy Spirit of God even works through the normal justice system at times in a country to remind people that there will come a judgment and a punishment for sin. We see that manifested in the execution often of justice in our courtrooms and carried out through our penal system. The Spirit of God uses many means, but primarily, He uses His indwelling power in the believer to reprove and convict the world so they will turn to Christ in faith, recognizing their need of deliverance from judgment.
We want to thank Mr. Steve Hankins, professor of Bible at Bob Jones University, for today's study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. If your personal Bible study has become haphazard and you've lost interest in Bible reading, then you'll be interested in reading the booklet, Methods of Bible Study. In this booklet, Dr. Stuart Custer, chairman of the Division of Bible at Bob Jones University, offers 14 practical ways you can systematically study God's Word. This booklet can help you get back on the road to a rewarding walk through the inexhaustible truths found in the Bible. Write today for your free copy of this helpful booklet, Methods of Bible Study. Just send your name and address to the Bible Institute of the Air, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Again, that address is Bible Institute of the Air, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. You won't want to miss a single broadcast in this series, so make a note of this time, Monday through Friday. The Bible Institute of the Air is a presentation of Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.
Take all our hope is holy faith. We will be true.